go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host, and I'm back with another episode today that I think you're going to like. This week, we're going to talk about something that is underused by many entrepreneurs, and the ones that are using it, a lot of them are just flat out doing things wrong. So today, we're going to dive into some email marketing tips and tricks. Now, we're just going to skim the surface, and we're going to talk about some do's, some don'ts, and some basic techniques. Certainly not going to be able to tell you everything you need to know about email marketing in this roughly half-hour podcast, but we will dive into a bunch of the basics and give you some actionable tips to have better results. So first of all, the thing to remember about email marketing is there is a lot of intricacies to it. There are a lot of things that making small changes will make huge results in your results. Well, you make huge differences in your results, rather. So first tip, this is kind of a no-brainer, but I think a lot of people have done it. I did it back in the day, and boy, was it horrible. Don't buy email lists with the intention of marketing to them. You know, how do you react when you have random things that jump into your email that you'd never purchased from or that you don't even know? If you don't know them, you certainly can't like them. If you don't like them, you certainly can't trust them. And if you don't trust them, you're not going to buy. You know, that comes right into also with the canned spam rules. Don't do it. It's illegal. Even if they tell you, oh, these are all opted into whatever emails that you want to send. No, that's not the case. And even if it was, you wouldn't have very good results at all. People want to hear about things that are relevant to them. So obviously, you're first going to need to collect these emails somehow. And the perfect way to do it is, hey, your customer database. Now, you can certainly run campaigns with ads on Facebook or Instagram or all kinds of other methods to get more in your database. But for the purposes of this podcast, we're going to talk about emails you have already in your database. So when they come first in your database, whether it's they purchased or whether they signed up for your email user list through your website or however it is they got in, always email new contacts within 24 hours. You want to make that initial contact. You want to make sure that, hey, you introduce yourself while you're emailing them. Send them something cool if you can. If there's a coupon or something, you can send them along with a thank you. Make it very personable. That'll make a huge difference in what they think of you down the road. Now, when we get into that, the other thing to think about is, okay, I'm going to send my emails from my info box or from sales at or whatever. Don't do that. Send them from an actual person's name, even if it's not an actual person. Send them from a person's name. So even if you're sending from Paul Smith or Tim Jones, if you have to send them from someone, make sure that they are looking like an actual person. You'll have much better results. People will take a lot closer look at the email if they think it might be a real person. Heck, you can, I may or may not have actually used my dog's name for a certain email campaigns. His name was Finn Franklin. So, and he actually got pretty good results. So again, for like first initial, last name at whatever your email domain is, or just a first name, you know, instead of doing something like info at or marketing at or sales at, don't do that. If you test it out, try it yourself. If you don't believe me, you'll have much better results when people see an email looks like it's coming from somebody in particular rather than a general mailbox. The next thing we're going to talk about as we're kind of working our way down an email is your subject lines. Now, your subject lines can make or break whether or not someone's going to read that email. Depending on what email client they're using, they may or may not see that, or they may or may not see part of the text also in their preview. So what you write in that subject line is very, very, very important. You definitely want to avoid spam triggers like cash, quote, save, money, those sorts of words. even putting big calls to action right in the subject line can also get you flagged as spam. You want to make sure that you're super clear and you're super concise and you're understandable. Sometimes shorter is better. Typically, you want to keep it less than 50 characters so that nothing gets cut off. Now, and remember, starting with the subject line, you want to be talking to your customer avatar, to your potential buyer. You want to get them excited. You want to speak their language. And remember, it's about them. It's not about you. It's not about what you want to communicate to them. It's about what they want to interact with. Make sure that your subject lines are timely. If there's something, if you can somehow pull in a current event or something that when you're sending the email, or you can pull in like something to do with a date or whatever, if you can make them seem like on a surface that they are something that only gets sent out now, you know, say Memorial Day event or Labor Day something, stay away from sale and stay away from those sorts of things. But there's nothing wrong with tying it to a particular time and place when people can have a particular thing or a particular feeling. Like, for example, say where we were having a fundraiser here, like we often do. We will send out an email that says, hey, please come join us and support on the day or date for and who we're supporting. So we're getting all those things and we're capturing people's attention ahead of time. So as we move down into the body of the email, we need to stay just as concise. We have to understand that people these days, in general, have very short attention spans, and we want to get to the point. We want to take and not kill them with more words than we need to. Now, given some of your emails, if they're going to be emails like, say, to teach something or to educate, they may be a little bit longer. But we want to keep them as concise and not just put words in to have words in, if that makes any sense. One thing you want to make sure of also is that you include a call to action button. However, you do not want to put too many of those. I typically suggest only putting one. If you have multiple call to action buttons, you know, like buy now, get it now, all those sorts of things, multiple, they will absolutely flag your email as spam. So one call to action and only one. Now, some ways that you can make other things clickable is if there's an image in the email, certainly by all means, make it clickable, add a hyperlink to it so that if someone clicks on the image, they'll be taken to the buy page. You can certainly also include text links that are in different parts of your verbiage, and that would allow you to give you extra launch points. The other thing that you want to make sure of in the body of the email message is that you avoid background images. You want to keep them clean and concise. Remember, a lot of times people are looking at these things on the phone, and depending on how big your screen is and how bright the light is, you may think on your computer when you make it up that that text on top of that background image looks fantastic. However, that may not be the case on every particular phone that people will read them. And remember, if they cannot read your message, then they will completely delete your message, may even unsubscribe, and they're certainly not going to buy your product or service. Another thing we see commonly left out is social sharing buttons. So you can certainly want to increase the number of people that will see things. You know, they'll often share things without reacting themselves or without doing anything else. But hey, if it's a really good deal and maybe it's not for them, maybe they can take and make it available for someone else and their friends and family that may be able to use it. Now, one thing you have to remember is depending upon the device and the settings and everything else of how they're reading your email, not everybody is going to see the very, very, very pretty HTML nice version you made up. There may be some users that just see the text version of your emails. So you need to make sure that you're optimizing the text version of your emails also, so that when they view it, it will be readable. Your message will still get across. It may not be just as pretty, but at least it will be able to get your copy in front of the user in a concise, easy to communicate way. One thing that you want to be careful of, so when you're cleaning up your plain text options, you don't want to change the actual copy much at all, or it may get actually flagged as spam often. Basically, the email scanners don't like to see text differences in the HTML versus the text versions of the email. So try to keep everything as far as your text verbiage exactly the same as you as much as possible. So the other thing we need to think about is, how are people going to be reading these messages? Now, the trend we're seeing is that very, very, very little of emails are getting read on desktops, as well as very, very little web browsing is happening on desktops compared to how much is happening on phones. Now, it's been trending up, and depending upon what you look at, depending upon what time of day, you're seeing as much as 80 to 85% of emails getting read on phones versus 10 to 15 getting read on actual computers. Very small amount on tablets, but mostly on phones from what they can tell. And within that, a lot of times they're using an app on the mobile. They're typically not using a browser on mobile. Maybe 10% or so, according to the latest numbers, are using a browser to read email. So make sure that when you're optimizing your emails, that you're looking at it through the eyes of a user that's going to read it on the phone. Again, like I said a little moment ago, something may look fantastic on your computer, but when you go to look at it on your phone, it just doesn't make sense. It's not as easy to read. You know, depending on what you're using to send your email, it may give you options to change what it looks like dynamically based on what device they're reading it on. If that's the case, great. If not, well, you'll just have to kind of split the difference and definitely lean towards what you're seeing on the phone compared to what you're seeing on the computer. You know, a few ways you can actually optimize your emails for mobile devices is be very conscious of what image file size you're using. So mobile devices typically won't be as fast, although that's obviously changing a little bit, as, you know, say a home computer on a cable modem or whatever that they're on. So, and also you really don't need to be as high a resolution, because the screen sizes, while they may be high resolution compared to what they used to be, they, you know, you don't have to have huge images for it to look fantastic on a phone. So make sure that you're not using overly large image file sizes, because the worst thing you can possibly have is opening up an email and the email's not fully populating. I can tell you, I personally give up on those pretty darn fast. As far as mobile goes, you want to make sure that the CTA, click to action buttons, and your links, you know, are larger than, say, 50 or 60 pixels for the best user experience. According to a study that was done at MIT, the average size of an adult index finger is about 1.5 to just over 2 centimeters, which translates to 50 to 60 pixels on a device. It makes it easy so that people can hit it very easy and get you a little better response rate. You know, there are a lot of email templates out there that you can use. At some point, it may make sense for you to just buy a template or two just to see how things actually can be optimized. It's a lot of times it's easier than starting from scratch each time, but that's completely up to you. Now, one thing you always want to do, and always, 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 is most email marketing tools will let you do this, is after you have written an email and got it all ready to go, send it to yourself. So it'll let you send it to yourself so that you can view it in your inbox just as a user would. And you can also, you know, you can look at it on your phone, you can look at it on your computer, and then look at it on your phone again, because obviously that's the most important. And you can see what it looks like and make sure everything is as you suspected it to be. Now, these days, most of your better email software that you're using to market with, they're pretty good at showing you a preview of what it will look like, but it's not always perfect. So it makes sense to just send it to your phone and look at it a couple different ways on an app, on via the web, on your phone, browser-based, and just to see, make sure everything's right. Now that you are 100% sure of what your customer will actually be receiving as far as emails, you have everything tweaked in, you know your message is good, don't be afraid to clean up your contact list. If there are customers on there, or potential customers, or past customers that simply don't respond to your emails over an extended period of time, they don't open them, they don't click on them, nothing, don't hesitate to remove them. It's best to weed out those people and make sure that your response rates are a lot more accurate and not being weighed down by people that just don't respond. I'm not saying if they don't open one or two emails, but if they haven't opened the last 20, there's a pretty good chance that they really don't want your emails, but they don't know how, or they haven't taken the time to click on unsubscribe. And here's the thing is there also are some email cleaning services, and some of your email programs actually have it built in, where sometimes people will put in made up or fake emails, or they'll just type something wrong, and you can have those removed so you don't have those continued bouncing, and that you can help make sure your emails make it through and are less likely to be viewed as spam. Now that you know everything's getting out like it should, it's very important to monitor your email's performance. What I mean by that is you want to make sure that the emails are getting opened, that they're getting responded to, and that sometimes verbiage or a way of writing or even an offer may work this month, but it won't work next. So we want to make sure that the emails that we're continuing to write and continuing to push to our customers are still doing as well. And if sometimes we may need to tweak how we're writing, our tone, or even specifically the emails that we're sending to particular people, we want to make sure that they stay relevant. And we want to constantly keep our eyes on exactly how our results are playing out. Now, that being said, don't hesitate to A and B test. What I mean by that is, instead of writing one email, write two, completely different ways, maybe they're different offers, and send them to very small segments of your email list and see which one is responded to better. And then if there's one is outstandingly better than the other, then just go with that one. If they're close, continue to tweak until you can figure out which method might be the best. Now, one thing you can do in general just to make your emails better, responded to better, and this actually rolls over to anytime you write copy, is to get personal. Think about what you're writing from your customer's perspective. Don't waste words. Don't have it drag out and be 10 paragraphs long that you could communicate in two. By all means, give them all the relevant data, but make sure that all the data that you give is relevant. Make sure that things are timely. If there's referencing new legislation or news or something, don't go after stuff that's 6 months old. Go after stuff that's 6 days old, 6 hours old. Try to be on the cutting edge, and you will definitely get better attention from your customer because they will be more interested in it instead of thinking, oh, I know all about that. I won't even click on that. Now, that being said, keeping your emails relevant is important, but what's even more important is remembering that promotions aren't everything. What I mean by that is the purpose of email marketing is not just to put offers in front of them constantly and try to sell them things. Personally, what I try to do is I stick with 80% of the emails are written for them and 20% are written for me. Now, what I mean by that is 8 of the emails or 80% would be me giving value, how to do things better, tips and tricks, any of those sorts of things. 20% would be my promotions or things that would be for me trying to sell them things. By sticking with this, it definitely gets people more engaging into your emails when you think that you're helping them out. You are there for them. They're your customer, but you are there to help them. And it's not just you are there to take, take, take. You have to be a giver if you want to succeed. This keeps the relationships with customers healthy and beneficial for both parties. Now, with email, the other thing to think about is a thing called automation, or basically, well, by that I mean just something that happens automatically. So a lot of today's email programs have the ability to create what we call sequences or drip campaigns, where basically things happen in a sequence of events at a particular time. Like, for example, when you add someone to our customer email list, they're going to immediately get an email thanking them for becoming part of our family and thanking them for subscribing and letting them know what they can expect. Tells them about some of the value coming and those sorts of things so they know, hey, I want to stay subscribed to this. This is going to be good. And as we go along, it sends it like either daily, every other day, weekly, depending upon what email chain they're in or what sequence that they're in the middle of. And it will treat them differently based on who they are too. Like, for example, an email sequence I would use with what I would call a cold prospect or someone that really doesn't know me that well. They may be on my email list, or maybe they bought something small, but there's a lot more potential for them. I want to continue to educate them and continue to build a relationship from the ground up. Now, customers like the, I would call more of a hot customer would be someone that is buying from me often, someone that just bought from me. Maybe one particular hot sequence might be, hey, any customer that bought a AR-15 style rifle, I'm going to send them a sequence about how they can better care for that rifle and some things they can do to make it last a lifetime. Now, they'll find that incredibly valuable, which is important. But the other thing that you need to be conscious of is they need to find it relevant. Now, if someone just bought a pistol from me or bought, say, a range bag, and I send them this email sequence about their new AR-15, well, it's going to be kind of awkward. Now, they may have just bought an AR-15 somewhere else, and I may get lucky, and they may find it useful, but more than likely, they're not going to find it useful, and they're just going to unsubscribe, and they'll be like, ah, more spam, do away with it. That leads me into talk about segmentation. So what segmentation is breaking up your email list into smaller groups so that you can send them more relevant emails. For that, I mean, like, for example, we have an email sequence that every time someone takes one of our concealed carry classes, it hits them with a sequence of emails that gives them some training tips, tells them what they may need in the future, tells them what steps we would take while you're waiting for your license, lets them know what the process is in Illinois for getting that license, and then also starts to educate them on what makes a good carry gun versus a bad carry gun, which in turn then leads into a promotion where we give them a coupon that they can use on a carry gun purchase in one of our retail stores in a very narrow window. So you see, by segmenting, I'm able to be more relevant. By segmenting, I can also treat customers of one retail location versus another, because sometimes there's different product mixes that are more popular in different areas. Our Dyer store is very different than our Moni store, and both are very different from our online customers. So we can speak to them differently, and we can speak to them in different manners, give them different information, and even send them different promotions of what we think they would respond to. So I hope this was all beneficial for you. That, again, this was just really scratching the surface of what's possible and what are some best practices for some of the email stuff. Email is just so powerful. Everyone typically these days captures emails from their customers, but so many businesses aren't putting them to use. And if you're not putting them to use, you're just leaving money on the table. Thanks for joining me again this week. I'm Steve Schaubacher, the Tactical Entrepreneur. If you believe this podcast or any of my other episodes could be beneficial to someone, please share it with them. It is here for you. If there's something I can do for you, don't hesitate to jump into my DMs. Until next week, let's go.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.